CPA and CFP Don Cash has made it his life's work to help people like you plan their finances and achieve their retirement goals. It's time for Your Money and Your Life.
Time for another edition of Your Money and Your Life with Don Cash and myself here to talk about investing, finance, retirement, and getting your house in order. Some estate planning for 2024 is on the conversation piece for today with Don. And as always, if you've got questions or need some help, make sure you're reaching out to a qualified professional like Don, who is a CPA and a CFP at Donald W. Cash and Associates. And don't forget, folks, there's lots of changes out there in the podcasting world platform. Google's been merging and shrinking down or whatever it is that they're doing. All the stuff can be now found on YouTube. That got rid of Google Podcasts, but we are on Spotify, Apple, as well as YouTube platforms. You can find all that information online as well, or you can just type in Your Money and Your Life into the search box of those apps and find it that way. Don, my friend, what is going on? It's April showers, May flowers, all that good kind of stuff. April brought us also an earthquake, a solar eclipse, and other craziness. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
Yeah, very active couple of weeks at least, right? I mean, you know, it's amazing how nature works, right? The solar eclipse that we had on Monday, did you get a chance to see that, by the way?
It did nothing here, but yeah.
No, okay. Yeah, there was a big deal here, of course. We heard about all the hubbub all over the country, a little bit more west, it seemed like, of us. That's where.
Yeah, it definitely blew through Texas, Indiana. People that I knew in that area were like, you know, it's like, okay, it's an eclipse, not apocalypse. And we have eclipses like all the time. So relax.
Yeah, what's interesting is that what we had here was like a 90% eclipse. It was pretty cool to see. And it was pretty clear up until exactly the moment of 90%. Then the clouds rolled in.
Interesting.
But, you know, we've known about that. And the scientists have known about this for a long time. And, you know, we've been looking forward to this kind of, in a way, since the last one we had here back in 2017. But by contrast, the earthquakes, particularly the ones in this area, are completely unexpected. That was a real shocker. And it's what everyone around here was talking about last Friday.
Oh, it's all anybody could talk about, right? And then it was like, okay, again, like, calm down. It's just, calm down. So that's, it seems like there's always something. And when we have these interesting events, and it was funny because we were looking at how people were overreacting, Don, and we went Googling, like, how often eclipses happen. And they're actually quite a bit more common than we kind of made out with this last one. I get there's different types, but they happen quite a lot, so...
And it's amazing whether it's the eclipse or this very mild earthquake we had in this area on Friday, the reactions. I was mentioning to my wife after it happened, and, you know, we noticed it, but I said, you know what, I'm guessing that there's going to be a lot of people who are not going to show up for work this afternoon.
Well, yeah, I heard it was like 3 million people went to like Ohio and Indiana because it was supposed to get like the totality or whatever, right? And just took off and went to those states to just take a look. And I thought, okay, well, have fun,
well,
I guess.
Well, that was the eclipse. I'm just talking about the earthquake.
Oh, happening. Yeah, the earthquake. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And then sure enough, in the afternoon, we had like a family funeral we were attending that morning. We went to go to Starbucks for coffee about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the store was closed.
Yes.
We drove. Yes. We went through the drive-thru, and that was open. I said, "What happened to the store? Why is it closed?" They said, "Sure enough, 3 or 4 baristas just didn't show up.
Didn't show up. Yeah,
for work because of the earthquake." So
yeah,
it's a different cultural event, but different cultural situation, I think, than the last time these things happened in the past. Let's say, I don't know, for here it was at least 10 years ago that we had a mild shocker. But the next planned natural event is the cicadas, these type of locusts pop up out of the ground every 17 years.
Yes.
They're going to be in the Midwest this year and back in the good old Garden State of New Jersey next spring. So there's a good reason, I'm thinking, that these things happen, these cicadas. I just can't figure it out.
Dude, I'm telling you what, the last, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, I can't remember how long it's been, but there was another one of these massive cicada events that was supposed to be happening. We got it down here, and it was supposed to, you know, they talk about how it's the first time or, you know, some sort of event that happens every so often, and there's going to be this massive billion of them and whatnot, and I didn't see any. I was like, okay, what? Where are they? You know, so we have these things pop up, but I guess just depending on where you live, it just could affect you in different areas, even if sometimes if you're in the target zone. Like we were in the target zone, and that didn't seem to happen on the last one. So we'll see if it happens on this next Cicada event. But speaking of things, Don, that we can't plan for and things that happen unexpectedly, let's talk about some spring cleaning and getting that house in order, as I said in my opening bit there, for 2024, and dive into a little bit of estate planning this week on the show. What should we be looking out for? What are some blind spots that folks often miss? What can we do to get that financial house in order?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. In many respects, good planning is often less about knowing what to do, Mark, and more about what we, you know, should just do what we know we should do, right? And
right.
That, you know, certainly differs depending upon what stage of life we're in. We all know that we should get a will or get it updated, get a power of attorney, get an advanced health care directive. Often they call that a living will. Yet for people over age 50, only a little over 50% even have these documents at all. And for those who do, a great many of them need to be updated because they're very old. So I just read actually yesterday that over the next 20 years, this could be something like $84 trillion of assets that are going to pass to the next generations. And look at it this way. We talked about this in the past. There's a $34 trillion national debt.
Yes, sir.
$84 trillion passing to the next generation.
Got a bullseye. Yeah. Got a bullseye.
There's the bullseye. Yeah. If you don't plan properly, the assets may be going to the government and not your family.
Yep, exactly. Great, great point, Don. And we know that, right? If we don't have a plan, the government has one for us, and often we don't like it. So let's talk about those legal documents. How does that compare, like, for folks under 50? I mean, I'm 52. Like, I'm right here at this kind of window, right? You know, over the 50 line. But what does it happen for folks that are under 50?
Yeah, I mean, we're in the same range. So for those between the ages of 30 and 50, only 36%. It's hard to believe, have these documents. So you're talking about like, oh, almost, you know, 65, two-thirds. I don't have any basic documents. And for those under 30, it's like 80% don't have them.
Mm, yeah, that's a big number, right? So 80% is a big, big number. I think that, you know, people figure since they don't have a lot of money, maybe, Don, that they just don't need the documents. That's why, if they're in that kind of range.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, of course, it's something that people would rather not think about.
Well, that too, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, for sure, if they don't have the money, you know, it's often they're thinking, eh, what do I need these documents?
Yeah, I'm not a Rockefeller, right? What do I need that for, right?
Yeah, and if I'm, you know, if I have a little bit of money in the bank, maybe, you know, it'll just somehow it'll work out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even if you have a child or a grandchild who's, let's say, age 20, for example, and in college, if they have a medical need or any other healthcare issue, and you need to gather information or step in to help with a medical decision, you're locked out, right? Once they're 18,
right,
you
yeah.
have no authority at all as a parent or a grandparent. So people really need to think about this and know this. And, you know, just for example, try calling a college or a doctor's office for a family member without a power of attorney or a healthcare directive. It's a real problem.
Oh, no, so it is. That's a great point, Don. My daughter got a minor injury at college. She just like fell and hurt herself or something, you know, walking across campus. And we called to check on her and they wouldn't talk to us at all.
Yeah, you know? They won't talk to you, but you'll get that bill in the mail. That's for sure. They're not slow on that.
No, sir. No, sir.
But, the lesson is please speak to your loved ones. Of course, deal with yourself, but speak to your loved ones about getting these documents in order, really. It's not only about the money, it's about control and who can make the best decision if the need arises.
Yeah. So let's drill in a little bit more on that. We talked a little bit about some of the younger folks. What about that 50 to 60 range? I imagine this seems like a pretty ideal place to start doing some stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there are a few things that I commonly see in this age range, people over 50 or over 60. Most of them have documents, right? They have a will, power of attorney, some kind of living will, advance directive. However, the problem is that a lot of these documents are outdated, right?
True.
So if the will, let's say if they have one, it often has trusts set up for kids that are now adults, or it doesn't have any trust at all set up for minor grandchildren. In addition, here's another problem I see, Mark. If there's beneficiaries or executors or trustees, often in with these old documents, these people have passed away and there's no backups. So that's a big issue. And another issue is that many people, Mark, don't even know where the original will is if they need it. Yeah. So you have to ask yourself, a question. Do you know where your will is, right? Even if you, if you need the original signed and witnessed will in your home or in a lockbox or in a lock safe in your house, is it there? Do you know where it is? So let's not even talk about the total disaster, Mark, of the unsigned will, right? And just last year, get this, family members found four pages of Aretha Franklin's will stuck in an old sofa.
Oh, geez.
In her house. And the court just ruled, yeah, that's the most recent will. They just ruled on the situation. That was an $80 million estate, Mark. What a mess.
Yeah. I remember when she died, she was one of those stories where talked about how many celebrities actually did not have wills and did not have their financial houses in order. So interesting that they found that in her couch a number of years later. Since you brought that up, I got a quick question before I ask you to explain some more stuff. My mom's 82, Don, and she just came across a will that her and my dad had drafted back in like 1973. Even though he's been gone for almost 30 years, is that kind of thing still active? Is that something that, you know, folks need to have amended, or is it just kind of void if they've made a new one? Like, what is it? Cause they divorced years ago. How does that play into that?
Well, certainly it's void if they made a new one.
Okay. Right. Right.
And they got, you know, and that's another thing we do with clients. If they update the will, destroy all of the old documents.
Okay.
Get them shredded because you don't want things popping up. Now, if something goes 50 years old and she's done a new one, yeah, you know, the document says this supersedes, you know, all prior.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, something like that, you do kind of find them stuck in a file cabinet sometimes years later or in a box in the basement if, you know, you're moving out of the house. But, you know, you see these things pop up. But yeah, the point is if she's got an updated will and it's all done properly, it supersedes the old one.
Okay. So any other things to keep in mind here, Don, as we're talking about this stuff?
Yeah. Keep in mind, if you don't have a written will, you know, as we mentioned before, you actually do have one, right? If you die without a will, it's called dying intestate, the legal term. And the state laws will take over and the courts are going to decide who gets the money. Right. It's not what you want to happen with you, your spouse, or your children. Okay. And the other thing to keep in mind for those that have a will, and many people, you know, do have a will, and a lot of those folks, they have a great deal of their net worth in their 401k or their IRA. And these assets pass to the beneficiary by contract in the IRA, not via the will. We've spoke about that in the past.
Right.
So if your will says, leave everything to your spouse.
Right, right.
Then equally to your children if my spouse is deceased. But your 401k or your IRA states, leave your account to someone else. That person named in the IRA gets the money.
Yeah, it trumps it, right? It doesn't matter what the will says.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
The contract supersedes the will. So we've seen that with people who may have started a job, let's say years ago, set up the beneficiaries as a spouse or as a sibling or parent and remarried or just got married and just never changed the beneficiary forms. And
right.
The money just may never get to the intended person.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was telling my mom a little bit, Don, with that situation. I was like, look, this thing's 50 years old. He's long since passed away. You don't have any joint assets, you know, and it kind of doesn't really matter because it's like what's on your beneficiary designations of your couple of life insurance policies, and that's where stuff's going to go anyway. But she just thought it was interesting. She's like, wow, I found this thing and it's 50 years old and I don't know if it's any good or not and blah, blah, blah. So interesting stuff. But, you know, when you're thinking about having that not updated or not right, because my mom had remarried, you know, since my dad. So it was like, there's cases where that stuff doesn't get updated. And I think we even talked about one, didn't we?
Yeah, this was actually a famous case regarding the IRA that we spoke about with a school teacher in Brooklyn.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she started teaching when she was in her 20s. Beneficiaries, well, this is a case that we do a lot of analysis on and we talk about in classes when we're doing trainings on IRAs. But the beneficiaries of her retirement account were her mom and her two siblings, right? This is many years ago. and she subsequently got married but never changed the documents. So over the years, her mom and her older sister died. The woman, the teacher, got married, and then she died when she was in her 60s. So this was like 30, 40 years after she started working. And when she died, her younger sister was the only one left on the retirement account beneficiary form. Mm-hmm. So this younger sister got the retirement account, and after a long court battle, her husband, her surviving husband, got nothing. So just be sure that, you know, the beneficiary by contract, like the IRA, the 401k, or life insurance, mm-hmm. and the beneficiary by the will are consistent with your wishes.
Yeah, really good stuff, Don, for sure. Can you kind of give us a more of an example of what problems might occur when the IRA gets inherited? So with the IRA, when a person inherits it, if I can talk.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, this is, you know, the question is what happens when the IRA gets left, let's say, properly.
Properly, right? Okay.
Gets left to your family member, a child.
Because there's different sets of rules depending on who gets it, correct?
That's what's often confusing, Mark. There's all these special rules for account owners and the heirs that exist around 401ks and IRAs. So if you leave your bank account or your house to your children through your will, it's pretty straightforward. You mm-hmm. just typically sell the house, put the proceeds in the estate account, the estate banking account, along with the other bank accounts, maybe CDs, savings accounts, and then you pay debts and expenses and taxes and distribute the money to the heirs.
Whatever's left, right? Yep. Mm-hmm.
You get the money. So, since there's no federal estate taxes for estates under $13.6 million now per person, and many states like New Jersey don't have estate taxes anymore, there's not currently an estate tax issue. But keep in mind, you know, really, that's for now. Right. There's that $34 trillion national debt, and a lot of states have financial problems. So that may change in the future.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about some of those IRA estate rules again, Don, just to kind of firm that back up.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, the IRA is truly unique. There's specific rules on how the money must come out and be taxed for the heirs when they inherit the accounts. And the rules are different for, let's say, spouses or non-spouses, minors, or adult children, or adult heirs, mm-hmm. as well as disabled or non-disabled. And what's even more confusing is that the rules are also different depending upon the age when you actually die. How crazy is that?
Crazy, yeah.
So if your heirs, you make a mistake, which is not uncommon, on not taking enough money out of the IRA when they inherit it, they could be hit with a 25% penalty on top of the income taxes that are due on the account.
Yeah, that thing just got cut in half.
Oh, yeah. And this is one of the key values, Mark, on the Roth IRA. There's no taxes due for the heirs, and the rules are much simpler when the heirs inherit the accounts.
Yeah, well, simpler sometimes people may not agree with you on that, Don, which is hopefully why they're listening to things like this and trying to get some information and things of that nature to help them along the way. And that's why you should be, you know, working with a qualified advisor, because, you know, it's great, I think, to have a good working knowledge about a lot of stuff. But in addition to not only having that financial person helping you, we got to think about these things from that legal side. So I always want to have a qualified attorney, professional help you with the various different pieces. And of course, as always, make sure that you reach out to Don and get some, you know, consultations going. I'm sure he's got referrals in that department as well. So 800-664-1183. You can call him at 800-664-1183 or stop by donaldcash.com. That's donaldcash.com. Don, you mentioned executors and trustees in the will. Talk a little bit more about some of that.
Yeah, let's dig into that. But I'm glad you mentioned that point about attorneys, Mark, is mm-hmm. that, you know, we don't prepare legal documents or give legal advice. This is all
right.
General information for educational purposes.
Yeah, you're not an attorney. You're just playing one on a podcast today, right?
Yeah, well, not even playing one on a podcast.
I know, I'm teasing, right?
I'm just giving general educational advice. Yep. Right?
But it's good stuff because you do deal with this. You know, this is part of what you deal with in your practice, though, and referring people and getting these pieces sent over.
Exactly. It's pointing people in the right direction.
Yeah, there you go.
And in relation to what we say, you know, it's something that comes up regularly. So in relation to the executors and the trustees, you should consider having, you know, primary, of course, executor, or if it's a female, it's called an executrix, along with a backup or backups, as well as backup trustees for minors, primary trustees, and backups in case there's a problem. So, you know, it might be regarding the problem, it might be that the executor or trustee just gets too old, right? Or incapacitated themselves. We see that with people in their documents. They have an executor that's a sibling that's actually older than them, and they might just get too old or incapacitated, or they move too far away to handle the job.
That's a good one too, right? Exactly. Great points. Sometimes you got to think about that, think that through. You know, maybe putting the oldest, you know, sibling or something is not if you've got, let's say, three kids, right? Putting your oldest sibling in charge maybe not be the best move, because they may pass away too before this thing even kicks in. You never know. What else?
Actually, it's a good point. So we spoke a bit about the younger people needing to have the power of attorney. And what I see often with people over 50 or 60 is they, you know, may have a power of attorney, but it just needs to be updated, because so many financial institutions, Mark, they want to see those documents that are not more than 5 years old, particularly if the power of attorney is not the spouse, right? So if it's a child or someone else in the family. It's also true for the advanced healthcare documents. They call this the living will.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, be sure that your power of attorney, here's a key point, has access to your passwords. Including, of course, the password for your smartphone. If they don't, your phone is just locked. And it's a situation I've seen come up just last week.
Really? That's a great point, because, I mean, all these passwords nowadays and everything can certainly be a real nightmare. What happened last week?
Yeah, actually, a very close friend of mine, someone I grew up with, had a sudden loss of memory event, kind of a type of amnesia attack. He simply woke up in the morning, got ready for work, told his wife that he felt something was off, something was wrong. So she rushed him to the hospital, and he couldn't remember his age, the current year, the current present, or anything of the recent past.
Wow.
Right? How scary is that?
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, he couldn't remember his password to his phone.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody can get in touch with him. I mean, fortunately, his wife was with him, thank God, right?
Yeah, man, that's super scary. Wow.
Yeah, very scary. I mean, so, you know, this is like, you know, relatively young person.
So how did it turn out? Like, I had a minor TIA a couple of years ago where, you know, after my heart surgery, where it just kind of had like a little thing happen with some cholesterol piece coming loose. But obviously it turned out really minor. How did this go out for him?
Well, that's exactly what the doctors feared, that he had a stroke, Mark. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they did tests for stroke, TIA, which is transient ischemic attack. And they did all kinds of tests and determined that he had something called a TGA, not a TIA,
okay,
which is a transient global amnesia episode.
Wow.
And over the next day, his memory returned.
Mm.
They say it was likely stress-induced.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Thank God he should be fine. But it's a real lesson. I mean, he's a relatively young guy like yourself who dodged a bullet. So we all have to be asking ourselves, if something happened to me, is my financial house in order?
Yeah, that's a great point, Don, because we don't often think about some of these other pieces, right? I mean, maybe we do, but I think we get so focused on saving for retirement, getting ready, getting our, you know, our accounts big, you know, big enough to get there, or grown, or whatever the case is, that we don't look at some of these other pieces of the financial house. So any other things to mention for folks?
Yeah, a key point when it comes to all this stuff, right, all these documents and thinking about this and kind of putting this all together, very simply, talk it over with your family. You know, it's kind of a sensitive issue, right?
Of course.
And some people growing up had this, what they call a no-talk rule. We don't talk about money.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about this kind of legal stuff, right? But when it comes to the family getting stuff in the estate, something like family heirlooms, Mark, or being aware of charitable intentions, or who's the executor, or power of attorney, these are really hot button issues that can cause big time conflicts with the family. I've seen this myself with people fighting over, you know, stuff that you would seem to be kind of minor.
Yeah.
And there was a great article, the Wall Street Journal, this week on the subject. That was by a writer that I speak with from time to time on IRA issues. But, you know, she wrote a great article. The title is How to Avoid Splitting Heirs. I mean, kind of splitting up the family. That
right,
was the point.
Yeah.
And well, we can post a link on the show notes on the article, but it's amazing how many families fight over, you know, a ring, or a watch or a clock or wedding albums, old photos. You really need to make it clear with a list in the will and communicate with the family. And the same holds true with the executor, power of attorney, and, you know, the people named that are going to be responsible for being what they call fiduciaries inside of the documents. If the assets are not evenly split, just anticipate there's probably going to be a problem and address it in advance. And mm-hmm. and often the bigger the estate, bigger the problem, right? They call it like what they say.
More money, more problems. That's right.
And we, you know, I haven't even addressed how to deal with family members with maybe with drug problems, alcohol issues, bad marriages, you know, family members who can't handle money well, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, money makes people funny, Don, right? And even if you have the best of intentions or think, hey, my kids will never do this or my kids will never fight over that, you'd be surprised. Talk to some people that are in this industry and you'll see that it happens a whole lot more than you realize. So getting your financial house in order is certainly important. Maybe we can make a get your house in order a bit of a theme for the remainder of 2024.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I really think there's so many things we could talk about in relation to this that we're kind of interrelated with these legal documents.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, just bring it all back under one roof. No pun intended. So there you go, folks. If you got some questions, need some help, again, we'll wrap this up by saying don't forget there's some things that you can do for yourself. Certainly, you can get educated. You can learn more content like this. You can learn more baseline things, whatever it might be, but take some action for yourself, get a little extra education, and also talk with qualified professionals like Don, who again is a CPA and a CFP at Donald W. Cash & Associates. Find him online at donaldcash.com. That's donaldcash.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, now YouTube. Everything's been converted to that from Google. So on the major platforms, just type in Your Money and Your Life in the search box of whatever app you like using, or again, go to Don's website and find all the good information there at donaldcash.com. Don, my friend, thanks for hanging around and breaking it down, and we'll continue this theme throughout the year, and I always appreciate you.
Thanks, Mark.
We'll see you next time here on Your Money and Your Life with Don Cash.
Investment advisory services offered through Donald W. Cash & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of New Jersey.